This is Body Talk, where we explore your inner universe.
David Lassondec here. It is so good to be back with a new episode of Body Talk. I took a little break for the summer, and it turned into a summer vacation. Thank you for the inquiries that I got. I'm doing just fine, but I was working on some other projects, and they kind of took precedence, and it's summertime. So one of the things I did this summer, early summer in May, is I went to Italy, and I got to spend the day at the University of Padua with Carla Stecco. So we're going to hear some edited highlights from the chat that Carla and I had. And hey, before we go to the university with Carla, it's time to have a back-to-school special. So right now, if you don't have a copy of the second edition of my book, Fascia, What It Is and Why It Matters, now with 30% more science, I'm giving you an opportunity till October 15th to get it at 20% off. That's right, 30% more science for 20% off. All you have to do is go to the Singing Dragon Handspring website. There'll be links in the show notes. And all you have to do is type in the promo code BODYTALK20, and that gets you 20% off the second edition of Fascia, What It Is and Why It Matters. 30% more science, about 30 new amazing black and white and color photographs. It's a worthy update to your fascia library. And hey, speaking of back to school, I want to tell you about my friends at Anatomyscapes, who help sponsor this podcast. Thanks so much. My good friends, Rochelle Clausen and Nicole Trombley, who co-direct Anatomyscapes. And they're about the whole body story. Their fascia-focused courses, online and in person, bring you cutting-edge research, just beautiful, beautiful imagery of anatomy, and the dissection lab experiences, frankly, are some of the best that I've ever had. Some folks have even said they're life-changing. And you get to fall in love with the science and discover what real anatomy looks like, feels like, and how it relates to its surroundings. Because you know what? Rochelle and Nicole are in love with the science and the anatomy and how it relates to its surroundings. So you will get to learn how to look closely at all the stuff in between the anatomy that you already know. And that can change everything and improve your touch, increase your understanding, and honestly, take your skills to the next level. Every time I do a dissection course, I always come back better informed than before, whether it's virtual or in person. So for more information, go to anatomyscapes.com. Just like landscapes, but anatomy. Anatomyscapes.com. Get free admission to their online anatomy art gallery. And hey, when you signed up, tell them David sent you. Now, let's get to Carla. So I got to the University of Padua and met with Carla. And after a brief tour, she suggested we go to the library. I'm always comfortable in a room full of books. So we sat down and had a conversation. One of the first things I asked her about was the first time she picked up a scalpel knife.
When you picked up your first scalpel, mm-hmm. what was your age? Like five?
I did my first dissection alone for mm-hmm. My thesis for medicine.
Okay.
So I was 24. Mm-hmm. And I did a dissection about the supraspinous ligament and the interspinous ligament. And I saw for the first time the relationship with the thoracolumbar fascia. And I published that paper. Was a nice paper. And then I started to be a resident in orthopedic surgery. Mm-hmm. And in the second year, I decided to spend 1 year far away from here as an Erasmus. And I was in Paris.
Mm.
And in Paris, okay. It was 2004, 2005. I stayed there. And I was lucky, maybe also strange, because I asked to do a project about fascia because my father spoke to me about fascia, but I had no idea what is really a fascia. Because all the work of my father until that time was based on the literature, but mm-hmm. in the literature there was no photo of a fascia, just some draw. Mm-hmm. And consequently, it was not easy to understand how thick is the fascia, how elastic is the fascia. There was a very different description. So I applied I know that time that in Paris was pretty easy to do this section. So I asked to do also a research with the dissection. And when I arrived in Paris, they say me, okay, you can do the dissection, what you want. They presented me the technician, mm-hmm. and they leave me alone.
Nice. That's what you want.
Yes, but at the beginning, I was really...
I understand.
Because I had no idea how to do a dissection, really. And how to show the fascia. It was a learning process that I had to do alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that I was lucky at the end to do that because I discovered a different way to do the dissection. Because mm-hmm. if before a teacher teach me how to do the dissection, the classical way to do dissection is a very is focused into the nerve, into the muscle. At the contrary, I was totally free to try new approach, a new way to do the dissection, to exploring a different way. At the beginning, I was not able to visualize the fascia. I still remember a call with my father that after some weeks, and I say, Dad, I think that there are no fascia at all. What you have described is not true. I'm not able to visualize the continuity that you mm-hmm. are thinking and so on. And my father say, send me some picture, we can discuss together and so on. Mm-hmm. And I send him some picture and he say, oh, maybe that small pieces could be the fascia. You need to pay more attention here and so on. Mm-hmm. And I come back at home after 3 months with many pictures. And we discuss the picture and we start to understand exactly what is a fascia. And when I come back again, I started to visualize very well the fascia because I understand exactly the layer, the way to do the dissection, mm-hmm. and now it's easy. But it was, at the beginning, was not so simple. And mm-hmm. I spent really just to do a dissection of an upper limb. At the beginning, I spent 15 days in the same upper limb.
Because was that preserved or
no,
fresh?
It was fresh.
Okay, good.
And my first focus was in the upper limb. I don't know why, but my research was about the upper limb. No, I remember. Because I was connected with a hospital that has the specialization in hand surgery. So I applied for the hospital to do hand surgery and for research the dissection of the upper limb, of the fascia of the upper limb. Then I spent much more in the dissection room than in the hospital. But after 1 year, I was able to dissect the upper limb and also the other part of the body. But at the beginning was really that I was so careful to create also all the picture of my atlas mm-hmm. Come from that experience. To do one picture, I spend 1-2 days only for one picture.
2 days for one picture?
Yeah. Wow. It's for that reason that they're pretty nice.
That's why the book took so long.
Now I have no time to spend so many hours for one dissection.
So you heard Carla mention her father there a few times. Of course, she's referring to Luigi Stecco, who pioneered fascial manipulation in Italy and was a tremendous influence on Carla growing up. I asked her to tell us a little bit more about that.
I have heard about fascia all my life because...
At this table.
Exactly. Because my father is really, really focused in his work. And I often joke with him and I say, you can start to speak with what you want. And you can be sure that in 2 minutes, my father started to speak about fascia because he found some connection and it started to speak about the fascia. Mm-hmm. So it is, it is really impossible not to speak about fascia with my father. And consequently, all his idea, the way to consider the body, the treatment, the facial treatment, was part of my childhood also. But when...
So he would treat you, your brother, your mother?
Yes, mm-hmm. I also because I started to have myofascial pain very early, so was another aspect.
How early?
Oh, until the primary school, I started to have a headache, pain in the hand, so many different... And I was treated with fascial manipulation, and I feel the result of the treatment in myself. Mm-hmm. I was able to manage all my pains without any drugs, but just with manual treatment. So I had the experience about the result of the manual treatment in myself. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to do medicine because what lacked at that time in the idea of my father was the scientific approach. So he had, I think, an incredible idea about how to understand the patient, the biomechanical model of fascia and so on, but was just an idea. And I decided to do medicine to understand what we know about the fascia, the connective tissue, and so on. And in 6 years of medicine, nobody speak me about fascia.
Were you bored? Were you
No, I was always a good student, so I did
study. Of course you
were. And I passed the examination.
So every year, it's like next year they're going to talk about it. Next year they're going to talk about it, but they never talk about it.
But I learned many other things, and I learned also a scientific approach that is sure. So, and I understood that I can't convince the people to trust in fascia without scientific research, because that is something that in medicine is pretty, they push a lot about that. So I decided to do orthopedic surgery to see the fascia, to understand the musculoskeletal system more. And again, after the first year, not only nobody speak me about fascia, but I started to see a different approach between what my father was able to do with the hand and some indication of the orthopedic surgeon. In some cases, I think that the surgery is amazing.
Yes.
In other cases, I think that we can be more effective with the manual treatment.
Carla soon realized that the orthopedic surgery track wasn't going to give her the in-depth look at fascia that she was craving. So she had the opportunity to spend a year in Paris doing a special project for her doctorate. I asked her to tell us a little bit more about that.
So it was for that reason that I decided to move in Paris for 1 year. Mm-hmm. I had that possibility in my curriculum, so I asked to spend 1 year in Erasmus. And but at that time, as an orthopedic resident, I had only 5 possibilities. And the nicest one was Paris, so my...
I would take Paris for a year, sure.
So I decided that city just because the other was not so nice, not for a specific purpose. And I asked that to my director, but when my request was accepted from Paris, from the university, asked me a project for research. So I go to my director and I say, I have to create a project for research. And he had no time to follow me. He don't give me any idea about the research. So I decided to discuss with my father and I send a proposal about the section of fascia because from the university I have no support at all. My father said, maybe you can do some dissection of a fascia, we can try to understand really what is a fascia. And I did such and I found two amazing professors in Paris because they leave me alone, so they were not, but they give me all the possibility to do the research. So they told me, if you need to do the dissection, you can, you have the lab and you can do the dissection, you can discuss with the technician what you want. They give help me for the application and everything I need. And I remember that I thanks a lot to that Dutch professor, and they say me that the true role of a professor is to support the younger to grow in the best way. Mm-hmm. So it's not that the professor has to show himself because right. He has already done that.
Yes.
Now it's time to support the youngest.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Exactly. But it is a very nice perspective, and often also the university is not so. The professors think always that he has to be at the top, mm-hmm. and the assistant has just to support him to stay at the top.
Well, his ideas are the best ideas, always, right?
But at the contrary, mm-hmm. if we twist the perspective.
Yeah.
Is the professor that became the service of the youngest to support them.
Yeah.
And
that's the way we fantasize. It should always work, but it doesn't always work that way. But that's wonderful that you got that kind of professor who said, that's an interesting idea. Go see if it's possible.
Exactly. And give me, and is what I try to do with all my assistant, because mm-hmm. with Carmelo, he came to me with the idea of the ultrasound, mm-hmm. and I'm guiding him to understand what he can see, what is better to focus, but I try to support him with Caterina with the microscopic aspect. So I think that we need to, I try to remember that what him teach me.
Exactly. Well, there's so much to know,
yeah.
and we can't figure it all out as one individual.
Yes.
So, like Robert always says, we need to behave like the tissue we study. We need to connect and support each other and not have that brittle ego, which unfortunately sometimes as we get older, our bones get brittle and so does our ego.
I got to speak to a number of the people in the research department there at Padua, and they all said the same thing. that what they enjoyed the most about being there and having Carla as a boss, as it were, is that they're allowed to think freely and they're allowed to pursue their ideas where their curiosity takes them, which is the way it should work. But getting back to Carla, back in her days in Paris, I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. And what was particularly revealing was how even she herself wasn't sure if she was discovering something, if she was verifying something somebody else had already discovered, or if she was just seeing what she wanted to see.
So you said that first picture of the upper limb took 2 days to get it right. Yes.
For a dissection of one upper limb, mm-hmm. I take 15 days.
15 days.
But so it means that to have a nice picture mm-hmm. and so on, I can spend 1-2 days just mm-hmm. to clean that area, to show that mm-hmm. area.
Right, get up, right, make it.
Exactly.
Make it beautiful.
Yeah.
For the
because
camera.
Because to remove all the small fat tissue, everything.
Mm-hmm. Having taken dissection photos and then looked at them later, it's like, what was I thinking? Because I'm looking there, and I'm not looking there, right?
Yeah.
So how long did it take you then to produce your book? How many years?
10 years, more or less.
Wow.
Because the first year in Paris for the dissection, then I come back for other 3-4 years, 4 years, four or five years in Paris every year, mm-hmm. 1-2 times a year for some weeks to focus in other specific part that was not so defined at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And from 2004 until 2010, I was focusing the dissection more or less. Then from 2010 until 2015, because it was published in 2015, I was focused in writing mm-hmm. because also with the picture, it was not clear how to organize and describe in a scientific way the fashion, because at the beginning, allora, it was during the dissection, the deep fascia was at the end pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Because there was already dissection, already description in other, in the Testue, in the Grace, in Pature, in many other books, we have the description of the deep fascia. Yeah. So,
does it also seem like a more discreet layer? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I suppose true.
Yeah, yeah. But with that description plus my picture, only some area was not so clear, but the majority, they combine pretty well with the anatomical description. Mm-hmm. But for the superficial fascia, was a totally different way. Yeah. In my book, I have also the picture of the superficial fascia, mm-hmm. and about that, there is no description at all.
I was going to say there's no scientific anatomical
exactly.
description of that. You were the first one, and it was like, that's a whole nother world.
And for that, to be sure that the superficial fascia really exists, that is not my artifact. Yes, because
yes.
At the beginning, we were, I'm not sure about if it is a layer, if it's an artifact, if I'm creating something wrong. Mm-hmm,
sure.
So, and when I, at the end of the dissection, I was sure that I was able to visualize and so on, I start to read all the anatomical textbook, and I found, and probably is still here, I'm not sure, I have to check. Mm. Maybe it's that one. Just
I'd love to see it, yes. Mm-hmm.
So Carla didn't find the book she was looking for. It was by Giuseppe Sturzi, Il tessuto sottocutaneo della subcutanea, and I believe is how you pronounce the title of that book. I've looked it up on Abe. Can't find a copy of it. It was published in 1910. And there'll be a link in the show notes to Giuseppe Cerzi and who he was. But now let's get back to Carla.
He published in 1911, I think, 1910 and 1911, a book only about the superficial fascia.
Wow.
It teach here.
Uh-huh.
It was a very small, but it was the description of the superficial fascia, the relationship of the superficial fascia in the mammary gland, the superficial fascia in the different area of the body, in the different age. And when I found that book, I say, okay, so I'm not wrong. It's exactly that. And the description were very similar to what I found. So when I found that, I trust much more in my findings.
When you came back from your wonderful year in Paris, and then you came here and got to work again on what would become the book and everything we've learned from your explorations, were you doing that here at this university or?
Yes. I was here, so I come back at the surgery, but years after year, I understood that was not my place.
So did you do any surgery?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I did that because during the resident period, I had to do surgery.
Uh-huh.
And
I would ask what your favorite surgery was, but that's silly. That's silly.
No, I had not, because during the resident period, you need to learn the different surgery, but I did trauma, I did prosthesis.
Wow.
I did, yes, and I had a pretty good hand also because I had all the
sections. Yes, 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 yes.
But I was
were your sutures nicer?
I was not interested really in the surgery because I understood that I had another perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And also because I had too many conflict, not with my dean, but I remember one day my dean that say, "You think too much to be a good surgeon." And I had a complaint about the indication, about why we need to do that, what we can do better. I understood that probably I'm more interested in the research and respect to be, and if you want to be a good surgeon, you need to be really focused to do a lot of surgery. And I think that is really difficult to do basic research and also surgery.
Sure.
Because both need a lot of time. I had still to publish my thesis about the thoracolumbar fascia and the interspinous ligament. Mm-hmm. So my professor of orthopedic surgery presented me here in the anatomical department to publish my thesis. And when I was here to write the paper to publish the thesis, I start to discuss about my experience in Paris, that I'm able to do the dissection. And Professor De Caro, that is the dean here, say, "But we are very interested to have you here." So they give me a place of researcher. And I win the place before to finish the resident period. So it was really, I finished them, but at the same time I worked here. And I started in such a way.
Carla and I talked about a lot of things that day. One in particular was her recent meeting talking about fascia to the Italian football club, which was a pretty big deal, and the nature of change and how asking people to change perspective just takes time.
For the first time, they invited me to speak to the football trainer that here in Italy are. Exactly.
Yeah, same in America.
So I speak to them about the fascia. And at the end, the one that told me today was a miracle because the fascia is a topic that until now was never considered in the football. So you have done like a miracle. Now we can start to speak about, and maybe after a year can change something. But really, it takes time. It takes a lot of time.
To change
the perspective. I spoke with a psychologist that is very interested to collaborate with me and say, you are changing too much perspective. So,
so slow down the change?
No, but it's difficult that a doctor that has always think in one way can totally change the perspective.
Yeah.
Because it's true, it's a totally different way to evaluate the patient, to understand the disease. So it's really a big changing.
Yeah. What would be the few things that you would really like them to understand about fascia? If you could wave your magic wand, go poof, what would you like them to understand?
If you do go to a specialist, he looks just at that small pieces of the body and don't take care about the surrounding, and also the people that look and say that we are able to look in the global way the patient. They just move a little up and a little down, but it's not really a global evaluation of the patient. And I think that is a pity, because only if we understand that we are really interconnected with the internal organ, the musculoskeletal system, the brain, and so on, we can really care our patient. And at the contrary, we look like that. And is a big, big problem. That is what I complain more than. We can treat in many different way the patient, because what I like of fascia manipulation, for example, is the biomechanical model, is how is able to put together the history of the patient, the symptoms, all the symptoms, and to give a global picture. Then you can treat with manual treatment, with the shockwave, with injection, with what you want. But before, you need to understand that. Otherwise, you just look that piece, and the patient don't like such type of medicine. The patient
absolutely, I agree.
Feel that they need to be considered a person and not just a knee or just a liver.
And I'm sure, like in your practice, you get people who have gone to many people who treat them as just a knee or an elbow or a thing. And you need to just sit there and listen and understand who the person is, and do your clinical evaluation also.
Then I think that sometimes you need the specialist that is able to do a good surgery, a good treatment of that specific area.
Absolutely.
But it's at the end of a process that have understand that the problem in the globality, have treated the patient in the globality, and maybe if remain a very specific problem, you need the specialist. But that has to be the end of the process, not the beginning.
I want to thank Carla Stecco so much for the gift of her time that day at the university. I also want to send my thanks out to everybody there in the department, Katerina Feda, Carmelo, Zhao Zhao, Shueku, and Lucia. All just delightful, delightful people. It was such a privilege to meet and have a few minutes with each and every one of them, just as it is a privilege to have a few minutes each and every week with you when Body Talk is back on the air at a time where everything is trying to grab your attention. And I promise you, if you give me your attention, I will make it worth your time. This is David Lasondak for Body Talk. Remember, you can help sponsor the show on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/bodytalkradio and sign up. It really helps keep the fires burning here on the podcast. And the music, of course, is always by David and the Disasters. You can always reach out to me through the various social media channels or at bodytalkdavid@gmail.com. See you next time here on Body Talk, where science and somatics meet.